looks good in the morning, and she don't even know it. I don't want you to go yet. Can we stay in the moment?
Sup boys, welcome to episode 2 of the Fairways and Greens podcast with Craig, Mike, and Bray. Lots to talk about this week, from the first amateur in a long time taking home a PGA Tour title to a woman winning a mini tour event, I believe, and earning themselves one step closer to potentially the LPGA. Anyways, we'll cover it all this week with our hard-hitting journalism. Bray, why don't you start us off this time? How was your week?
Hey, Craig, not too much. Yeah, watched a lot of sports this weekend. Obviously, it was the divisional round of the NFL. We had the Battle of Alberta in hockey, and the Oilers' pants looked like my son's shits. They were just truly disgusting uniforms. So, but they did beat my Flames, so tough scene. And then, obviously, the golf. Didn't watch much until Sunday, and obviously it was like huge storylines with what happened. I know we'll get into it, but yeah, a lot happening in the sports world.
Yeah, similar to Braden, there's a lot of football going on, worked a little bit, and then actually have the golf on in the background right now, rewatching the historic win. So absolutely crazy.
Is there a less thankless position in sports than kicking in football? You guys know more about it than me. I mean, the guy has to talk.
You didn't send him death threats?
I would have if I was a Bills fan. Like, if there was an equivalent that happened to the Canucks or something, I would have definitely. I've sent COD death threats, like a video game, when they fuck up. So, yeah, I definitely would have sent that guy death threats.
You weren't one of those guys that had $10 on the game and has like it's 300 pounds, can't do anything but raise a beer to his mouth, sending this guy death threats in his DMs. You weren't that guy?
No, but I am in the sense that I could kick a 30-yard field goal. I mean, his was like 40, but he does it for a living, so like it's not that tough of a job. I don't know. I know it's pressure with it being. Is it more pressure if it's tying or to win? It's definitely more pressure if it's tying, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
Because kick is like, or to win is basically house money, I would think.
You're like kind of free rolling. Well, not free rolling, but like at least you have overtime as a backup if you miss. If it's
Yeah, and you can blame someone else. You pretty much only have yourself to blame, I guess.
If you're playing golf, do you want to putt to tie or do you want to putt to win? It's way easier to have the putt to win.
Yeah, that's... That was a stupid point on my part. All right, let's get into it. There's an Amex recap we got this week. So obviously Dunlap, first Am in a while to win. I think since Phil, I have no idea who it would have been before that or if anybody. Don't have a lot of points on it. I actually didn't get to watch a whole lot of it. I was kind of cramming in the highlights the last little while. One thing I thought that was awesome was the video that was circulating of his college teammates. That brought me back to, obviously, we never had a guy win on tour, but I remember watching even Chris sink a putt to get into match play for the USAM. That was one of the coolest things and just kind of brought me back to that. Like watching your teammate make a pressure putt. I couldn't even imagine on national TV to win a PGA event, but so cool.
Yeah, I think it was a year before I joined SFU and you guys got to, I think it was in Texas, it was regionals or something to get into nationals. And I just hear about how you guys posted a score and then the wind picked up and you guys were following the scores all day and the teams just started blowing up in the wind and you guys got to Selly and Selly and Selly. So not obviously on the same scale as your teammate winning on the PGA Tour, but making nationals is a kind of along the same lines of the same type of hype.
Yeah. The thing bringing up regionals, we'll bring Brett on to tell this story. And sorry to cut you off, Mike, but we have to bring up the story of me on the driving range not being able to get a 3-wood in the air before the playoff. I think we save it for when Brett comes on, but that is all time. Just complete demons on the driving range before the round.
That was all time. If I've ever seen somebody nervous, that was nerves. That was tough to watch as your teammate, hoping that you had to hit a shot in the clutch coming down.
Well, it makes everyone else so much more nervous too. The fact you're watching your teammate who probably, I think the college playoffs, I could be wrong, but I think everyone has to play and I think everyone counts. If you're watching your teammate on one of the hardest holes that we played, I think there was OB left and water right, something like that. It was a pretty tight tee
Yeah,
shot.
there was, yeah.
And I was not finding the club face. It puts so much more pressure on everyone else. But yeah. What do you guys have on the week?
Well, yeah, like normally I don't give a flying fuck about this tournament. I don't know who won it last year. I don't know who won it the year before. I know Rom won it one of the years, but I just know it's a birdie fest. It is. They do finish on the stadium course, which I have played twice now or three times now. So at least I have some, because it is fun seeing the guys on tour play courses you've played, so you have some reference. But other than that, like they rotate through three courses throughout the week. So it's kind of like a tune into Sunday if something's happening. But as my good friend Connor Thompson, we got to have him on at some point here. He's the co-commissioner of the FGA, Forgettable Golfers Association circuit, but he dubbed it the Telus Santa Fe Mickey Mouse Pro-Am, which is basically like, who gives a shit about this event? That was my mentality until, is it Dunlap or Dunlop? Anyway, until Dunlop, the amateur, was he leading by six going into the final round? Then it grabs your
I think
attention
three.
because three, whatever. He
He
had a
was
lead.
running by six at one point, I'm pretty sure.
Gotcha.
Oh,
At
shit.
six at one point on Saturday, and then leading
Yeah.
by three. Tuned in Sunday, like watching the football, looking at the leaderboard. I think he had a shank or a near shank, like early on, made double, bounced back with immediate birdie. And now it's like, okay, like it's on here. There's obviously huge stakes. Can't win the money, but having that A next to your name on the PGA Tour, and the last time that being done was Phil Mickelson in 91, that's pretty sick in itself. And now he's got all the exemptions into the majors. PGA Tour for a while once he goes pro. So, yeah, obviously captivating stuff.
Yeah, Mike, you got anything to add?
Yeah, I just want to talk about this guy's like career coming up to this. So I think he's played in three PGA events before this, two were US Opens, and then he missed the cut in all three. But his like record in college and his record as an am is insane. And even his record as a junior. So like the craziest stat to me is that when he was in grade seven, I think it was, he shot 59.
That blew my mind.
What the
Which is
fuck?
just absolutely bizarre.
I couldn't.
I feel like I was a pretty good junior and I was like happy breaking 80 when I was
Yeah.
that age.
When you're 12 or 13 years old, yeah,
Yeah,
I'd say
he was
so.
12. He was 12 and he shot 59. And then his last 32 matches in match play, I think over college in the USAM, he's 30-2.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's
Wow. He
impressive.
shot 60. He shot 60 at the Amex this week. He shot 60 in college earlier this year. He's just a freak.
Wow.
He hasn't
Yeah.
officially said he's going pro yet, right?
No, but he withdrew from the tournament next week.
Yeah, soft.
Soft. Yeah, he's got homework. I think it's very rare to see, like, obviously, it's rare to see an am that good have that many records as a kid growing up and in college and whatnot. It's a whole nother thing to go win in a PGA Tour event and get against a lot of the best players in the world.
Totally. Even if it is the Mickey Mouse Pro-Am presented by TELUS or whatever.
Still shot 29 under.
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous. But like all those things you just said about his records, his college play, like I think I'm pretty in tune with the golf space. I'm obviously not like a super, super hardo, but I didn't watch the USAM that closely. I know he won, but other than that, I didn't know anything about this guy. So that kind of highlights that. I know last show we talked about that Liv like could have gone after Åberg when he was in college. And I'd say like the same thing about this is without him winning on the PGA Tour, he wouldn't have the like platform, like the draw that he has now as a winner. I think the
Totally.
PGA Tour like totally steps him up a lot. Because if he would have finished eighth here, it would have been a nice story, but it wouldn't have been the same. Now he's one on tour, and that's just gonna like open up a lot of doors.
I have a question for both of you. So Rom, I'm just going to use Rom as an example because Rom was kind of a phenom when he was growing up. Obviously, he has the accolades on tour. I think Rom's contract on LIV was 500 million. If you are the Saudis and you're giving a contract to someone like Dunlap, what kind of money are you throwing at him?
So is this after he's won or
This is
before?
after he's won.
Yeah, see that's so tough because he's won, I think that number goes up astronomically. So again,
Yeah.
it's that like platform of him being on the tour and winning. I don't know. Like this
I
like
think it's how
50
many?
to 100?
I was gonna say 9 figures.
Yeah,
So I think
probably.
like around 100. Which like
Okay.
if you're in college, are you turning that down?
Probably not. Probably not. I guess that's the question. If you're in his, like him right now, you just won, you have exemptions, you like you're PGA Tour member now, right? If you win,
Yeah,
yeah, you're a member, you
correct.
got exemptions for a few years into the majors. You have like one of the rarest things you can do is win on the PGA Tour as an amateur. You have that in your backpack. What number are you, what's your like break or like lowest acceptable offer? That's the
100%.
real question.
I think the number that he would get from Liv would far exceed the number he could possibly make in his lifetime from the PGA.
Do you think Liv's
Okay.
reached out already?
If
Don't
they
know.
haven't, if they haven't, they probably will soon.
Do
Could
they
you
have enough
imagine?
room on the teams though? Like, aren't their teams filled?
Yeah, but they'll just cut a guy, won't they?
I don't fucking
I don't
know. I
know
don't
their
know.
structure.
Exactly. I don't know.
I think the craziest thing is Liv might just buy this guy just to basically put their balls on the table,
Yeah.
right? They can just do it, take this guy, and then be like, we can take whoever we want. If that wasn't already made clear,
Yeah.
like there's PGA's got to come up with a way to, I don't know what it is, but
They
if
need
they
to
take him,
merge
that would be
with. They
incredible.
need to
Yeah,
merge with them.
they need
It's
to
gonna have
merge,
to
yeah.
be. Have to be a merger for sure. Especially like, I know we saw Rom go, but if we see like Dunlap or Åberg or someone else like a young phenom, like a real true phenom go over there, it's gonna be like all hell is gonna break loose on tour.
Yeah, the tour can't fight. You can't win a fight against someone that has like endless money. You can't win. So I don't know what a merger looks like. I know that can be a full on discussion, but yeah, it's got to happen at some point, I think.
And that's what's so
Yeah.
hilarious about this price tag on this kid. It can be so unreasonable. Like it doesn't
Yeah.
have to have any logic to it.
No, not at all.
Anyway.
True.
Okay, let's move.
They could give him the ROM contract just to be like, yeah. And then he would take it. And yeah, PGA Tour would be hurting.
Yeah. All right. We can talk about Liv forever. I think we're probably all on the same page that, yeah, moving forward, the best route is probably some sort of merger. Other news in the golf world, PGA Tour University introducing five more cards to the PGA Tour Americas Tour, which I understand is the Mackenzie Tour, PGA Tour Canada, and then the Latino America Tour, whatever it's called, those two mixed together. And it looks like I think the first half of their season is down. In whatever countries those are, I don't know geography.
Latin
And
America.
the, yeah, somewhere. Yeah. Mexico, and Guadalajara. I don't know. And
Like Panama
the,
and stuff.
yeah, same thing. And the last half of the season is in Canada. And then from there, they also introduced a Division II golfer. So I think it's the Jack Nicklaus Award winner. So basically, the top Division II golfer, he gets status on that card. So number one in Div One gets PGA Tour card. Number two through nine get Korn Ferry status. Number 11 through 25, including the Division II top player, get some sort of status or whatever it is on the PGA Tour Americas. Yeah, I think, I mean, pretty cool to give Division Two something. I think one spot's more than fair. Obviously, most of the top golfers are Division One. I think, obviously, much deeper talent in Division One golf. That being said, Division Two, I mean, the top players, like off the top of my head, obviously Svensson, guys like that, have obviously produced pretty good careers. So I think it's good that, and I believe Svensson won the Division Two Jack Nicklaus. I think it sucks for, didn't the Canadian guy, the Vancouver kid, Ewart, he
Yeah,
won that award last year, didn't he?
AJ won it either a year ago or I think it was 2 years ago.
Oh, shitty timing.
And when they came out with that, we were talking about it because he's a member of VGC, and we were talking about it with the members and saying how like unfortunate that timing was.
Yeah. So for those that don't know, so those are the qualifications now. If you're in the top 25, you get some status on some tour. And top one and D2 gets the same as the 11 through 25 guys on that new tour. But for those that don't know, if you aren't in that, or you're that guy from Vancouver that you just mentioned, what is your path to the PGA Tour? Is it just Q school, or where do you go?
Mike probably could explain this better than me.
Yeah, so are you asking if you don't have status, how do you get on tour? Yeah, essentially you have to work your way up. So you could, I think the best route is to go through, you can go to Korn Ferry Q School. So you do pre-Q for Korn Ferry, and then there's first stage, second stage, final stage. That, in my estimation, as an ex-pro, is probably the best way to go about it. I think it's very, like, the amount of talent on the Latino tour and Canadian tour is like insane. And having to finish first on the order of merit, I think you said first gets PGA Tour card, Craig?
From college,
Yes.
seniors only in college, yes.
Okay. Yeah, so I think it's like it's a good feeder tour, the PGA Tour Canada and the Latino American Tour. I don't think it's a very logical way to get to earn PGA Tour status. I think your best option is for sure to go through Korn Ferry Q School and try to do it that way.
So there's no
But
more PGA Tour, like you can't just jump straight into PGA Tour Q school, right? I know that used to be a thing. Now you got to go through the Korn Ferry.
yeah, it used to, I don't know when it stopped, but it used to be a 6-round event, and it was open to I think anyone in good standing with in the PGA that could just qualify for it. 6 rounds and the top however many got PGA Tour cards, which is fucking sick.
So now
Like,
top
that's insane.
five, sorry to interject, now top five at Q school get straight onto the PGA because I thought
Okay.
they mentioned something about that
Yeah,
and they wanted to bring
yeah.
it back, but yeah. All right. Well, yeah, I think just to touch on that really quick, obviously Mike, you have more experience with the pro golf thing than I do, as a player. The route of going as a pro trying to go through a full season on the PGA Tour Americas, to me, always seemed incredibly, it's obviously incredibly difficult either way you go about it, whether you go Q school or try to get on through one of the feeder tours. But I've heard really good players also say the best way to try to make it is play your best golf in November and just go through Q school, go through that route. Because you think about the cost of playing one of those tours, it's so much more than paying your Q school fee, which is obviously
Totally.
incredibly expensive as well. But then you're also competing for, back when it was Mackenzie Tours, five cards, right? I think got Korn Ferry status. And I think two through five is fairly limited as well, which is wild. But obviously, as a pro, you want to play on a tour and everything. So,
What
yeah.
about just trying to Monday qualify into PGA Tour events and then start stringing some cuts together if you can?
That's a way to do it, but making a cut doesn't guarantee you anything. Now you have to be top, I believe it's
Top
top
12.
10 gets you, or top 12 gets you into the
Some, I
next
don't know.
event. The Monday thing is definitely a way to go, but like that's also an expensive way, and you need to be like catch lightning in a bottle every single time you Monday queue, because you need to shoot, seven, eight, nine under to get in. And there's so many people playing Monday queues now that there's almost always a pre-queue to the Monday queue. So you gotta shoot 7, 8, 9 under in the pre-queue and then shoot that again the next day. So that's a hard route, and you're jumping from city to city. It's just there's no real easy way to do it.
Totally. But I guess like the one thing about that is if instead of going through Korn Ferry Q School and then playing really well all year, because you can't just like have a couple good weeks and then you're gonna have a card next year. You got to play so well all year consistently. You could catch lightning in a bottle 1 week, Monday qualify, and then win. And that's your way to PGA Tour card is win. Obviously, that's like super, super unlikely, but so like making it in pro golf is already super, super unlikely. So that's one way that you could accelerate it, make it quicker. One other thing on the college thing is they have this accelerated program. So what Craig listed out earlier for all the like 1 through 25 is for seniors, and it accumulates your points for the last 2 years. But there's an accelerated program that allows freshmen, sophomores, and juniors to make it. And that's how Gordon Sargent actually qualified for PGA Tour status through this. And basically you need 20 points, which is quite difficult to do. The actual like how you get your points is laid out on their website, but it's like 1 point if you play in a major, like 1 point if you win NCAA finals. Like to get 20 points is actually very, very tough to do, but there is a way to do it instead of playing all 4 years of your eligibility as well. So at least something possible and very innovative by the PGA Tour as a feeder way to get onto the tour, so LIV doesn't just snap up all these guys.
Well, it's a good kind of a good way to showcase their talent before it's even there too, I guess. Like you're seeing all these names pop up on Golf Channel even more often when you're tracking all the PGA Tour U stuff. So yeah. All right. Let's move along. So what we got next is does I like this segment. I'll touch a little bit on this, whether or not pro golf needs more support on the lower tours. This is my thing. I'll kind of go off on this and you guys can chime in. With Mike will probably have very good feedback on this. I mean, we've talked about it a lot within our group, but the crazy thing to me about pro golf, and you guys might know why this is, I'm sure it's revenue and advertisements, and it's maybe easier to do in other sports, but the way I look at pro golf is kind of crazy in the sense that it's the only sport where athletes will basically lose money and they're in a PGA Tour associated field. I don't know how to say that properly, but basically in hockey, you have the AHL and the ECHL, obviously like farm systems of the NHL. If you're playing in the coast, in the ECHL, which is the lowest level, you're never losing money. You're making a small paycheck, and obviously those guys shouldn't be making a lot of money. And I'm not saying that in golf, guys on the PGA Tour Americas should be making much money, if anything. But I'd love to see some sort of per diem pack, something put together to help them with their travel, their food costs, all that. I don't know. I think it's time they try to figure something out there to put themselves along other sports like hockey and baseball. And I don't know, fucking lacrosse players probably make more money than guys on the PGA Tour Canada. I don't think that sport's ever sold a ticket.
I'll let Mike go here because I know he's gonna say some stuff, but that might have been the most liberal thing that Craig's ever said, though, is basically
Yeah, and I'm not
asking
big
for
on spreading the wealth.
universal. No, I know you're asking for universal basic income here among the lower tiers. But anyway, Mike, go ahead.
So, I'm gonna just say two things. So when I played, I think it was a 13 tournament schedule, and I did everything for pretty cheap. Like I stayed with billets. I didn't drive everywhere. I flew most places, but it probably cost me on the cheap end, like between $20,000 to $25,000. And a lot of that came from sponsorship, so I was lucky. But a lot of the guys that get their cards are not as fortunate as me and don't have access to, a private course like I do, where you have members who are looking to kind of help you in that way. And guys are doing it themselves. And there are guys that have been like playing on the Mackenzie Tour for upwards of like 5, 6, 7 years who are just constantly, they're not breaking even. And if they're not doing it a cheap way, they're probably spending, I would say, $30,000 to $35,000 each year. And if you're not top, I'll say top 10 on the tour, I'll have to look up the money, but I'm gonna guess based off what I remember, like top 10 to top 15, you are losing money. And the amount of good players and good golf on the Mackenzie Tour that actually feed onto the PGA Tour is pretty high. Especially in those like 1 to 5 and 1 to 15 spots. There's been a lot of good players recently that started out on the MAC Tour. And I don't know how I feel about like a universal income once you're in the association or have a PGA Tour card, but I do think that there, I don't really know if there's another way to do it, but I do think that once you get a PGA Tour card, regardless of what tour it is, there needs to be something that helps out the players.
All right, so here's a quick thought I had of how you could combine this to also combat players from going to live, and you could get out ahead of it with certain guys going. So tell me what you think of this. Okay, when a player earns a card on PGA Americas or basically any PGA associated tour, they sign a 5-year contract. This is all, it can be any amount of time, I don't care. Under this contract, their travel, accommodation, food, whatever, there's some sort of budget they have. So they get some money from the tour that helps them out with all this. If they earn their PGA Tour card, they earn upgrades and accommodation, allowance, travel, all that. Their income is still 100% based on their level of play and tournament purses, right? So they're not making any money, netting any money if they're playing like shit. If you're missing cuts, too bad. You're just not putting yourself in the hole. Okay. However, should their play go south and they lose their tour card, their contract is then void, right? So they lose those contracts. Contracts could, I think, get rid of players escaping to live long term, as they might lock in players early, right? So somebody gets their card, they get locked in on that 5-year contract, they accept it when they signed on, that they get all this help with their travel and their food and all that. And then when they earn their tour card, they're locked in for a few more years, so Liv can't snatch them up right away.
I have one thing to say against that, and
Okay. There's not really an argument.
Bray might have more of a financial slash not a law background, but essentially, if you sign a contract like that, you can, I'm pretty sure if you're Liv, you can say, I'm going to give you this amount of money to break your contract.
Yeah,
Can you just break contracts?
you can probably get out of it somehow, or you could just intentionally play really bad and then lose your card, and then
Yeah, but you
you
could make
just
that
said it's
argument for
void.
any sport, right? You can't just throw games if you're in the NHL.
You can if you're guaranteed a contract from somewhere else.
Yeah, I don't know. We
My mind's.
need to consult a lawyer, but like, could say Ovechkin, if the KHL offered him $1 billion, could he just leave the Capitals? I
I'm
actually
sure there's a
don't
way
know.
that he could do
Yeah, like
it.
players hold out for their own contracts, right? Like guys that are currently under contract, some guys don't play currently because they want to like make it get a deal done. So I'm sure you could get out of something like that. I like the
All
idea
I know
though.
is that money in terms of like contracts and suing people for breaching of contracts, money goes a long way, and Liv has a lot of that.
Yeah, totally. That's yeah. They're
I think you
already
guys.
in so deep, like with this live stuff, that I don't know if they want to put all their efforts into the lower tiers. Like my view on it is kind of similar to like revenue from women's NBA WNBA games or soccer. Like if they're not bringing in the revenue, why should they get paid as much as the men, and so on. Like, why should guys on, I'm not saying they should, or no one's saying they should be paid as much as the guys on the PGA Tour, but how many, like, how well attended are events on the PGA Tour Canada, and what kind of TV deals, if any, are they getting from that?
I fully agree. And again, I don't think they should be making a lot of money or anything like that. I just think it's crazy that they're paying out of pocket to go on these tours. And when you look at every other sport, it doesn't happen. It's not like the Swamp Rabbits in the coast are selling out arenas. I get there's maybe there's I don't know if there's a way the PGA and these lower tours could
Well,
increase
then.
advertising and that, right? That might be a way. Obviously, they've probably thought about that and it's probably not in the cards, but I'm just curious, like, does the NHL send money down to the AHL on the coast and help fund those or what?
Well, the AHL, well, I actually don't know, but I know the WNBA is funded by the NBA. I know the
Okay.
WNBA does
Which
lose
is
money and the
bullshit.
NBA supports it. So, yeah. But I guess one way they could do it, and this might not be popular among the top guys on these lower tours, is to decrease purses but give everyone money to travel. So it's like that is distributing the wealth. It is very leftist, but it's a way that like people wouldn't be losing money if you play a full season and it's going to cost 30 grand out of pocket. Instead of having that 30 grand distributed among the top five, you could, I don't know, subsidize hotels and travel and whatnot. Don't know if I love that, but that's, I'm just thinking like off the top of my head here, a way to overcome that. But I don't know if they're just going to be throwing more money without taking away money somewhere else. Because if I'm the PGA Tour, I know the cream will rise to the crop anyway. I don't really care to fund the lower tours, is
And
that's you.
I totally get that. That's fair. I wonder if even not even thinking about the lower tiers, if there's a way to lock in guys as soon as they get a PGA Tour card. And because I mean, they're still paying expenses. There's probably a lot of guys from 125 through 200 on the money list that have partial status that would be like, yeah, I'd love to have my
Totally.
travel and all these expenses paid.
Yeah, and they got to pay their
The
caddies and stuff too.
one thing I'll say about golf, trying to compare it to other sports, is that there are so few spots at the top in golf. Especially if you look at compare it to hockey. So how many top leagues are there in hockey? So obviously the NHL is the cream of the crop, and then you have the Russian Hockey
AHL.
League. Guys still make a lot of money in Russia. Swedish Hockey League, guys still make a lot of money. There's what? Let's say 30 guys on an active roster in hockey. Maybe a couple less.
Like 20, somewhere in there.
Okay, so let's say that's roughly 900 people in the NHL. That's already almost quadruple the amount of PGA Tour cards there are. So if you are extremely, extremely good, the point I'm trying to make is that I think if you're an Åberg or a Dunlap or somebody that's that good, you're still going to rise to the top. But there's so much talent in golf now, and there's so many good players that there are probably, I'm just going to spit out a number. There's probably 1,000 guys that are good enough to play on the PGA Tour, and they just haven't played good at the right time. But if they got a PGA Tour card, they would keep their card. They're that good.
I agree with you.
Where I think in other sports, like in basketball and in hockey, it's very rare to like have somebody that's that good and they just like they need a chance. Like you know pretty quick if somebody's good enough or not. In golf, there are so many people that if they got the opportunity and were given a card, they would keep their card.
Yeah, good
Yeah.
point.
Calling all golf enthusiasts. Imagine this. You're on the green, sun shining, about to take that swing of a lifetime. Now, picture enhancing that moment with Swing Snus, the nicotine pouch for golfers who appreciate precision in every aspect of the game. With flavors like Fairway Mint and Bunker Berry, each pouch delivers a burst of freshness without missing a beat. It's a perfect companion for the golfer who values focus and flavor. Fairway Mint is my go-to. Gives you that incredible little buzz, activating your mind, but steadying your hands on the greens. Head over to swingsnuff.com and use code SWING15 for an exclusive 15% off your first order. Swing Snuff, because your swing deserves a pinch of perfection.
So, Mike, what should the tour do about that? So, you know, like, it's so deep. There's thousands of guys. They just haven't had the right timing of their good weeks. What should be done about that?
That is a phenomenal question. I don't really have the answer. I don't know if woke leftist Craig's idea of universal income is correct. But that's just Craig. It's so hard. Like, I think maybe instead of like having a salary, I think once you get a PGA Tour card, you might get a certain amount of money based off your status for that tour. So say you go to Q school, you qualify, and PGA Tour Americas, you qualify in fifth place. That gives you, everyone gets like a ranking for status for each tournament. So say you have like the 50th or 55th status spot on PGA Tour Americas, you get X amount of money as soon as you get your card, and that's it.
I think you just described the FedEx Cup, but at a lower level.
Did I?
Yeah, they get paid out based on how they finish their ranking for the whole year.
I think, I just think as soon as you get a web.com card or a PGA Tour Americas card, you should get X amount of money, and you can spend that however you want.
Okay.
Whereas it goes to, travel, tournament fees, anything like that. But I don't know if there's a good answer. It's a very hard sport to make it in.
Yeah. No, it definitely is. Like we said many times, like the margins are so thin between the America's Tour, the Korn Ferry, and whatnot. But yeah, good stuff. We can move on.
All right. Up next, we got a pretty controversial topic in the golf and sports world. We have a trans person that definitely made waves in the golf world.
Yeah.
So my understanding was they won an event and there were some points that are going towards potential status on the LPGA. I think that's pretty accurate. Can we confirm?
Good enough.
I think that sounds okay. Pretty accurate.
So let's go off that. We're going to go off the idea of a biological man playing events in women's golf. Okay. I don't think I said anything wrong there. So
no, that's good.
I'm going to read off paper here. This is kind of my main point. The argument that society has as a whole to accept a trans person as a legitimate woman but they cannot play in women's sports is where woke culture continues to shoot itself in the foot. If you think they're a woman, but you won't let them play in women's sports, you're arguably as much of a bigot as I am, right? So this idea that today you have to accept, people will always say like, you have to accept them for like the way they are, right? So a man becomes a woman, call them by the right pronouns, pretend that they're a woman. But there's people that are kind of fence sitters, right? So when it comes to sports, they say, oh, no, you can call yourself a woman, we'll call you a woman, but you're not allowed to play sports in this division, which in my opinion makes you as much of a bigot as the guy who says, no, I'm not going to call you a woman. You're not a woman, you were born a guy. Right. So if you're going to accept this new age of choosing your gender and teaching your kids that you have to, then you have to accept that it's a slippery slope. And whether you like it or not, the lines between gender boundaries get increasingly blurred and can very much damage women's sports. And honestly, I might get torched for this. This is going to sound pretty left of me, but I think women's sports. I think there's a lot of great women's sports. I enjoy watching women's golf, but when I went to the LPGA at Shaughnessy, it was awesome. Like they're super talented. It's a different game. Every drive is just splitting the fairway. Their short game is insane. They hit it farther than I thought. It's really entertaining to watch. I would gladly pay a decent amount of money to get another ticket and go see it again. I was at same thing, women's tennis, I think is awesome. Women's hockey, I hope works out. I don't know if it will personally. I don't know how much I would pay to go watch it, but like I'd support it. I'd probably go watch a game if it was Canada versus US for sure. I think they can definitely make some money. Women's basketball just it doesn't work. We'll move on. I don't know what your guys' thoughts on that are.
Soccer,
That's right.
tennis, and golf. Soccer, tennis, and golf, I think, are the best ones. Hockey too, especially in the Olympics. But hopefully the
Soccer,
new.
soccer, absolutely not. It's on the same level
No?
as basketball.
I
Really?
don't I can watch women's soccer.
I can
I don't
watch
know
it.
soccer, but I find it entertaining.
I can watch it.
It is not pretty, guys. I promise you
Okay,
that.
fair enough. We don't all watch Premier League and Bundesliga and whatnot.
Ray, do you want to go second on this topic, or do you want to close us out?
I don't have that strong of a take, so do you want to close?
Yeah, you're afraid of being canceled, I see.
I am, yeah.
I'm going to basically, I'm going to read off some things. So let's go here. Women's basketball. A 50-year-old 6'6" man played on a men's team 30 years prior, played on a women's junior college team. Let's go. Women's MMA. A male MMA fighter who competed as a woman broke a female opponent's eye socket, gave her a concussion. A male powerlifter competing in women's powerlifting broke several records before being disqualified. I feel like she should have been disqualified beforehand. Let's go to women's swimming. A male swimmer who competed on the men's team for 3 years began competing on the women's team and won a 2022 NCAA championship in the 500-yard freestyle event. Another male swimmer competed on the men's team for 3 years before competing on the women's team and recorded the fastest women's time in three straight events in the 2019 Missouri Valley Conference Championships. So this list is like, I'm skipping three quarters of this list. If you Google that and you go through it, there are records being set by transgender athletes in women's sports that were previously men. And I think it is completely unacceptable.
I agree.
I think that for and I don't really care if I piss people off here. If you can sit and look me in the eye and tell me that men's and women's sport are equal in terms of what they can do and how good they are, you are talking out of your ass. There is a biological advantage to being a male and what an athlete and what athletics brings out of you from a genetic standpoint. Women cannot do the same things that men can do, and it's not sexist, it's not bigotry, it's not anything like that. It's just a biological component. And the fact that we're in a day and age where what I just said is probably going to be looked at negatively, I don't really care anymore. It's starting to piss me off because I know I have friends that are women and play women's sports, and they are now competing against biological males that have transitioned, and it is not, it's just not fair. And I think it's just where we are as a society now where you're more afraid of saying the wrong thing or being canceled than actually doing the right thing, even though it might hurt that person in the like present time, saying no, I you can say I understand that you are transgendered and this is what you identify as now and this is what you are, but you are not allowed to compete in this sport, and that's fair in my opinion.
That's where I disagree slightly. Like in all seriousness, I use some like language that's like I'm joking around. No, but I just think it gets so confusing where If they're called women, they should be allowed to play women's sports. That's if we're all agreeing as a society to call someone a woman, then you have to make the argument that that's, unless we're going to label everything so specifically and it's going to be like biological, born with an XX chromosome, born with a XY, whatever the scientific term is, I don't know.
So
But
you think it's fair if I'm not gonna say me,
no,
okay?
he doesn't think it's
I do
fair,
not
but
think
he
it's fair.
doesn't. I think I'm more in Mike's camp here. So I think you can have it this way, where you accept them in society. They want to be a woman, sure, whatever. But if they want to play the sport, play in the biological like category that you were born as. And Craig's saying that's not okay. I don't understand why we can't do
See,
that.
I don't I think Craig's talking out of his ass and he actually doesn't believe that.
Yeah.
No, I
Craig just doesn't want transgender people to
What
play.
bathroom? What bathroom should they use, Mike?
Oh, are we getting into this now?
No, we're gonna go way off the
I
rails if
don't
we
know
get
why,
into this,
though,
but
this person can't just like compete on a men's tour. That's.
because they wouldn't make it.
Well, yes, exactly. And if they want to make it, they'll have to go against who they were born as. If they
Yes.
want to be a woman on that tour, we've seen women compete on the PGA Tour before. We've seen Annika Sorenstam. We've seen Michelle Wee.
And Lexi Thompson just did it too.
Exactly. Like, it's not like you can't do it. It is possible. You were born as a man. If you want to be a woman now, fine by me. Whatever. That's none of my business.
Yeah, I
I'm
have no
not
issue
getting
with
into
it.
that.
I have an issue with it if I had like I don't know, a daughter right now,
Yeah.
I would have a big issue with her competing against a biological male.
Imagine 100%. 100%.
All the
So
men
that,
taking the scholarships from the women. Like,
well,
that's
yeah.
crazy.
Like that swimmer, that one, Leah Thomas, the second place, who like worked her ass off, biological female, got second place in whatever race that was, and that was what she was chasing for her whole life to that point. And got second to this biologically born male, now female, Leah Thomas. She was pissed, and rightfully so. If I was her father, I'd be pissed too. Like, this is my daughter that worked her ass off to get to this point, and then someone that transitioned is beating her. And this was a male that struggled as a swimmer against other men. It was like middle of the pack in the NCAA or something. I'm not sure exactly, but I know they were not winning. And then they go compete against women. And
Set
win the whole thing
records.
and take away that victory from a rightful, yeah. So I don't know. I do not agree with Craig's take that we are bigots for saying they should compete against who they are biologically born as. But anyway.
Well, we won't go on too long. My only point was, it gets very, very confusing today where we're supposed to call them women. They're women. You have to like it. Like, you have to accept that. But not with sports. No, not with sports. It's just like, it's weird. Like, where do we draw the lines? Like,
I think
we're
that's
not going to
fair.
go into bathrooms,
I
but
think
like,
you draw the line at sports.
at sports. Yeah, exactly. You draw it at sports. Like, what other parts of society now in 2024 are we?
School bathrooms.
Okay. Well, I don't know. But sports is like the main one. Like, in the workplace, it doesn't matter anymore. Like, right? Like,
True. Like, and
sports
I'm
are
not for
where.
mis. Sorry, I
Oh,
keep interrupting, but I'm
ooh.
not for mistreatment or anything like in the workplace at all. Like, it's just, I don't know what to
I
call
just
them
mean
then.
sports is the only spot, really, like athletic events where being one gender has a like an
Severe, a
advantage.
biological advantage.
Exactly. Yeah. I will
Okay,
say
yeah.
though, of all the sports, like golf is probably the one where it's like least obviously it's still an advantage to hit the ball further, be stronger, whatever, but it's not like they're going direct. Like MMA or I don't know, some combat sport, it's a little bit different, but I still like don't condone it. Like I'd rather you compete against who you're biologically born as.
Yeah, fair enough. Good. Those are good points. I'm not gonna lie. Mike took a huge L last week. I'll take a that's like a semi L this week. All right. Do you guys have anything else on that, or is that
No.
okay?
No, I'm happy to move on.
I could go on for a while, but I'll stop there.
All right. Moving on to a more appropriate topic. Next, we got favorite games to play on the golf course. I'm gonna let you guys go off on this. I don't have, you guys are always the guys keeping the scorecards anytime I play with you, and then you just tell me like how much money I owe you at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And that's
I
pretty
can go
much it.
first because I know Mike's got some good ones, but like a classic Nassau is always good, especially if like that's a good game where you can play with different skill levels and it not get out of hand. You just play 5-5-5 front back total. You play with a partner, keep play your own ball, keep best score against the other guy. That's always easy. When you're down, you press. Good stuff. Can get out of hand if you want it to, but it doesn't have to. You can limit the number of presses. Games are much more fun when your relative skill is closely the same, or at least like you have, if you're playing in a foursome, like two really good guys and two average guys, like one on each side, then you can play games like Vegas is one of the best games. So if you're playing, you make a four, your partner makes a five, your score is 45 on that hole. You're playing against a group that makes a three and a seven, their score is 37. Except that three, if that's, we'll say that's a par three for this time. So that 37 against your 45, you subtract the difference, and then there's a dollar amount, say like a dollar per point, which could get out of hand quickly. That's how much you owe them for that hole. But say that's a par four, that 37 stays, but now that 45 flips to a 54 on the birdie. And then on an eagle, it doubles instead of flips. So if that's a par five, that 37 stays, but now that 45 becomes 90. So 90 minus 37, quick math, is 53. You'd owe them $53 for that one hole if you're playing a dollar hole. So you might want to lower it a little bit. And then it can get really crazy if it's like a birdie and an eagle, like 34 against the 45, then you flip double. So 54 times two, 108. So anyway, that's Vegas. It can get out of hand. And then one that's a little more simple, it kind of stemmed from a really complicated game called Wolf Hammer, but my friends and I just play Hammer. You can play it as a team game or as individuals, but we usually play it as individuals, like $2 a hole. I'll tee off. The guy I'm playing with will tee off as well. If I think I have an advantage, he hits it in the trees or something, I'll hammer. At that point, he can either fold, give me the $2, or he can take. If he takes that hammer, now the hole's worth $4, and so on. And then you play out the hole. If I end up winning the hole, I'm up $4. But if I birdie, I get another tick for that, and so on. But say after that, I hammered him. He's in the trees. He stuffs his next shot from the trees, like a big slinger around the trees, whatever. I hit it in the water. Now he's holding the hammer because I hammered and he took. He can hammer back, and then I have the decision. So whoever hammers last does n no longer holds the hammer. The guy who got hammered and took holds the hammer and can decide if they want to hammer or not hammer. It might be a little more comp sound a little more complicated than it is, but pretty fun game.
Very nice. I like those games. I have a regular game that I play just with members at Vancouver Club. It's just called Corners or Sixes. So it's very simple. You put it, say each match is worth $20. You have a partner for the si first six holes, a new partner for the last, for the middle six, and another partner for the last six, and you just keep track. Usually you play auto one downs, so as soon as you lose a hole, another match is started on a, via press. Very, very, very simple game. Very easy if you don't want to keep track of a lot of stuff. My favorite degenerate game, and you usually need to be on a course where you can take 4.5 to 5 hours. You need a little bit extra time just because the betting is different and the order of which you play in is super important, is golf poker. So imagine a poker table with seats one, there's four people playing, seats one through four. That order of one, two, three, four on each shot on the golf course, it has to be played in that order. Okay, so There's generally a, and this is a pot limit game, or else it gets out of hand. So there's a $1 ante each hole. Everyone puts in a dollar. There's $4 to start. The first guy tees off, second guy tees off, third guy tees off, fourth guy tees off. Now, whatever order you teed off in, player one can either bet or check. So say they hit one right down the fairway, the other three guys are in the rough. They say, okay, I want to bet $4. The person in seat two can either call or fold. So if they call, they call $4, and that keeps going until the hole is finished. It gets very, very hectic when, say, you have a 3 footer for par, and the other guy in the hole has a 10 footer for par, and the pot is up to $50, say. So say you want to bet pot. So you bet $50 for a putt. You tap in for your three. He can either fold and lose the $50 that he's already bet, or he can call to try and have you. It is an exceptionally degenerate game,
Love it.
but it is super, super fun if you do it with guys that are all the same skill level and are okay with like gambling for a little bit more money.
Mike,
Very
you're
good.
usually gambling now. Like every time you play tournaments, you're gambling with guys in your group. What were you playing with Guile at Pitt a couple years ago? Because you said you had like
Oh,
$1,200 on the last hole going
yeah.
to
So
empty.
me and my good friend Guile, we usually start out like pretty slow. We play, instead of 6 hole sets, we play 3 hole sets, and it's usually $50 a match to start. And then depending on how much the other person is down or up when it gets to the final 3 holes, it's usually a $300 set. And if you lose the first hole, it's an auto one down. So then it's 600, and then if you lose the next hole, it's 900, and it gets out of control very, very quickly. And in 3 hole matches, anything can happen. It's
Sickening.
disgusting. It's disgusting.
Well, yeah, I know Mike's got to get going here, but I want to say, like, I don't need to play for a lot of money to make it interesting. You know what I mean? Like, I know, like, I love betting, I love playing poker and all that stuff. And if it's a little more money, it feels a little more. But even if you're playing for $5, it's more so the fact that you're taking $5 from your buddy that makes it fun. And I think Michael Jordan's the same way. Like, he always said he doesn't care if he's playing for 10 grand or a dollar. He just wants to take your money from you, and he only plays in cash. And I love that. And I hate that, like, now not too many people carry cash on them, especially like in the denominations that we'd play for, like a 20 or whatever. I wish we had more of that, because it's just way more satisfying to take that 20, 50, 100 bucks off your buddy.
Yeah.
Like when they're handing you the cash instead of an e-transfer, Venmo, or whatever it
Yeah.
is. Like, I want straight cash, homie. Come on now.
Yeah. I love that. I love that.
Yeah, my big thing is, like I said, like whenever I gamble, it's more so with you guys. A lot of the people I play with outside of it, I always have to talk them into playing something, but then I don't remember what the good games are.
Yeah.
And then I hate texting last minute and explaining the rules and getting things wrong, and it just becomes a mess. But it's a good thing I'm cheap and poor, because I like playing for an amount of money that does make me like shake a little bit,
Yeah.
versus otherwise I just don't care that
You don't
much.
care enough. Yeah, I
Yeah,
got you.
I like to care, but the good thing for me is that I'm so cheap that if it's anything over $20, I'm usually shaking a little bit.
That's why games like what Mike said, like the auto one downs, you don't need to play for a lot to eventually make it a lot. Like, if you play auto one downs in a 6 hole match, then you don't need to play for more than like $3 to $5 for that sixth hole to be worth a lot. Like, if you're one down, then you win the next hole, then they're one down in the press, then they press, and so on. You just like auto press.
Yeah.
Or Vegas, if you're playing like even 25 cents a point. Like I said in that one example, your team makes 34, and like, say you're playing against someone that makes a 7 and a 5, like they had a double and a par and a par five, then you flip to 75 and then double to 150, and you're sitting at 54. So that's a difference of 120 points time. So if you're playing a dollar, that'd be 120. If you're playing a quarter, a point. That's 30 bucks on one hole. So on some holes, it's very little, like 45 versus 46, it's a quarter, but you play for those big swings. That's where you can play for a little, and then there's still the big holes where you can end up like sweating over a 5-footer for sure.
I think we played Vegas a little bit the year I was down in Arizona, and I remember that being the most fun. That game I love. I actually forgot about that, so I love this segment because that game
The problem is you don't really want to handicap it. Like I hate handicapping games where you can really have a big swing. Like birdies and eagles are so critical in that game. If everyone's just making pars and bogeys, it's not a big deal because you're the difference is only going to be like a couple points here and there. So you really need to play with four scratch or better golfers, I think, or four of the same skill level. Otherwise, like if you play with someone bad, they make an eight on a par five and you eagle, and it's like, yeah. Gets out of hand. So it's really fun though when you get four good guys together.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. We got picks for the week. This is, I think, the last segment. So
yeah,
Bray, you start with this because I've been on my phone for the last 2 minutes on Bet365 trying to figure this one out.
Yeah.
So
okay, so I think what we're gonna do here is each week we're gonna have 10 theoretical. Maybe we actually put the bets in. Who knows? Who knows what happens behind the scenes? But we're gonna have 10 theoretical dollars each to sprinkle on some outright winners or some top fives, top tens, top 20s, missed cuts, made cuts, whatever you want to bet on. I'll track it throughout the year and hopefully update. So we're going to start fresh this week. I'm going to have three picks for myself. And my picks are going to be $5 on, let's see, where is he? Ludvig Åberg to win outright. He's sitting at 18 to 1. So I'm putting $5 on him. I'm going to put $3 on Willie Zalatoris, coming back from injury. He's sitting at 50 to 1. And I'm going to put $2 on Adam Svensson at 70 to 1 winning this week. And the event is at Torrey Pines, kind of a big boy golf course. Not necessarily like the most fun viewing, I think. It's just a lot of the same holes, but it does require guys that hit the ball far, hit the ball well. Last year, I think Max Homa won. John Rahm won the U.S. Open there, so guys that can really strike the golf ball and hammer their drivers. So those are the three I'm going with. And Mike had to hop off, but he's putting $10 on Max Homa top five. I'll find those odds for you, but go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to say about this tournament. For the first few weeks of the year with the Hawaii events and the Amex 30-under shootout, whatever you call it,
yeah.
This is kind of the preview of the season for me. Like, this is where I start to get a little bit excited.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's usually a good winner. Like, everyone likes watching Homa. Rahm, I know, has won there. I think, was his first win there? Am I getting that wrong? I think he made that putt off
win.
The green, right? But didn't he win this event?
I don't know.
I feel like he did. This is bad. I don't know it, but I think he did. I know he made like that insane putt from the back of the green. It had that year, the first year I started kind of getting into golf and playing and watching. This was like the event that sticks out because it was Kyle Stanley when he ripped the wedge off the green and made triple and then lost in a playoff.
Yes, yes, so yes.
I always look forward to this one just, I don't know, for those reasons. For my picks, I'm going with no homework done at all. I'm going to go Max Homa, $5. And I promise next week I'll do more research. And I kind of like, I'm going to go Patrick Rogers.
Nice.
Just because I know he melts it. So hits it far. He's a name that stands out. So I'll go with him as well. $5. Went outright for both.
Yeah, I'll find those odds at some point here and update the spreadsheet. That's good stuff. I know the event is played, like the big boy golf course is the South Course. That's where the U.S. Open's played when they have it there on occasion. But they do play it. Is it North Course, South Course, just Thursday, Friday? Or do they play North on Saturday as well? I think it goes North, South, Friday, or Thursday, Friday, and then South, South on Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, I think that's I think that's right. That's how I remember it every year. I think the
Yeah.
North is usually a bit more of a shootout, right? They go
Yeah,
a little
it's
lower
definitely
there.
the easier course. So, you definitely want to take it low, take advantage of it when you have that course, because the South course can be a bit of a beast.
Cool. I don't think, am I missing anything? Do we have anything else we want to talk
I don't
about?
know, unless you wanted to cancel someone's ass.
Yeah, I could. Should we keep this? Yeah, we can try to keep this segment going. So,
Yeah, cut it if you
who I
have
got
that.
to cancel this week? Hate to do this, but I was enraged when I saw this post on his Instagram. The newest PGA winner, he has pictures of him holding up a dead deer on his Instagram.
Oh,
It's
God
just,
damn
it's, yeah, it's disgusting. I mean, we live in a vegan world now. On top of that, don't celebrate your meat, you know, like the animals, everyone knows animals die peacefully in nature. They have their family holding their hands. Don't celebrate that you shot this thing in the head, you know, and it had a nice quick death when it could have died in a slaughterhouse and you could have picked it up from a grocery store and you would have never had to think about where you buy your meat from. Like, it's disgusting. So people shouldn't hunt. They shouldn't eat what they kill. They shouldn't celebrate what they kill. It's, oh God, just go to Safeway like a normal person and buy your sandwich.
Oh, I love it. Craigie fitting in with the British media who are giving Brian Harman a tough time. I love it. Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Dunlop. You won as an amateur, but you were canceled by the Fairways and Greens podcast. I don't even know if this is gonna work, but I'm gonna cancel Xander Schauffele for just simply being a boring bum. He was T3 this week, just like a sneaky T3. Nobody gives a shit. And he's like best friends with Patrick Cantlay. So I'm canceling them both, actually. The most interesting thing Cantlay's done is not wearing a hat during the Ryder Cup. That was like kind of fun because people like poked the fun at it, like the crowd had their fun with it. So yeah, good for him there. But those two together, get them off my TVs. They can play some golf, and I fucking hate it because they are very good at golf. But win a major or something, then you'll be a little more fun. Like Scotty's boring, but at least he's won the Masters. So now it's like, all right, like now he's stringing some wins together. He can strike the ball. Well, until one of them wins a major, I'm canceling them for being boring. Get them off my TV.
Yeah, I think that was probably the one time he made headlines outside of his skill in golf, right? So he did something kind of controversial and it got him on headline. I love that. That's
Cantlay?
perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That
All
and
right.
having no hairline, which I kind of goes hand in hand.
Yeah, that's a tough one for you to chirp.
It is. It is.
All right. Cool. That's all I got. I don't know.
Yeah, that was
Yeah.
fun. Thanks, Craig. Mike had to hop off, but that was fun chopping it up with you boys.
Yeah, that was awesome. Let's do it again next week. We'll keep
All
it
right.
going. Keep this momentum going.
Peace.
Yeah, see you, bro.